It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
What is happening, everyone? Want to thank you so much for giving us a listen. We are the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust, the only daily podcast, at least that I know of, completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. So basically, it's the most important 20 minutes you will have each and every day for your listening pleasure, because the bottom line is we're hopefully going to help you become a better daily fantasy player and in the process win you some straight cash, homie. And lots of stuff to talk about today. Draft Day has announced kind of a new promotion for them, an online fantasy championship, and we'll kind of go over that. Actually, Taylor Cabey of Draft Day will come and join us. We'll either have him on the podcast either tomorrow or Friday, but he'll be on in the next couple days talking about that promotion, and that gets kicked off in just a week or so over there on Draft Day, but definitely like the format, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, coming up tomorrow on the podcast, we will talk to Bone Steel. Who's Bone Steel? Well, Bone Steel is one of the five finalists in the coming up this weekend to play off for that spot for $100,000 in the finals out in Vegas for FanDuel, as he and four other people tied last Friday in the championship. So he is actually going to play it off, and he's been nice enough to come on the podcast, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his history in daily fantasy sports. It's pretty interesting because he's the first guy this season who has a chance, who actually made the finals last season, and this isn't his first go around with these tiebreakers. So we'll kind of talk to him a little bit about that. He's a Roto Grinders member, so a new voice coming to the podcast tomorrow, and he's certainly going to have a lot on his mind, I'm sure, on Friday. So certainly excited to hear from him. And lastly, of course, we're going to talk Major League Baseball analysis and even give you a little bit of golf analysis. Why, you ask? You know, I haven't talked about golf every single week. Well, most of the tournaments are kind of lackluster, not that interesting, but the players here in my hometown of Jacksonville, Florida, is one of the better tournaments throughout the year. Just a great field of players. For whatever reason, Bubba Watson isn't in it, but pretty much every other player you could imagine is going to be out there. And I got some sleepers for you, some guys who I think who are undervalued, who can help you maybe win some money in some daily fantasy golf over there on Draft Street or on BuzzDraft, the two major sites. I think DraftZone also has some daily fantasy golf. So those are the things we're going to hit up on today. Let's start it off talking about Draft Day. The Draft Day Online Championship of Fantasy Sports. Kind of wordy, but they call it the DOCOFS, the D-O-C-O-F-S, but it's a $40,000 guaranteed payouts, but it's over a series of events. And I really like this because basically what this is it more or less, you know, it doesn't have everything come down to, you could have a $140,000 event. Yeah, you know, that's awfully impressive, don't get me wrong. But they're spreading it out over a longer period of time. And they've got these different events, and there's, 10 of them. And after every event you actually play in, you earn points. And obviously in each of these events, there's prize pools. You got a 10,000, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 4,000, 2,000, a couple of qualifiers, and of course the big event championship, which is a $200 buy-in with a $20,000 prize pool. And you're going to be able to qualify through different satellite tournaments to get into that big one, because I know a lot of people don't have $200 that they can throw out there in a big event like that. So Draft Day is going to have different ways for you to get into the final event, but anyway, these other tournaments, I really like the format of where there's a point system where you tally points, and actually whoever has the most points at the end of the series wins $1,000, and on top of that actually gets to go head-to-head against their spokeswoman Kay Adams for another $1,000. So basically, the way I look at it is, you know, you win the points championship, you're going to win $2,000, because I like your chances beating Kay Adams head-to-head. So that's kind of the brunt of the tournament, and Taylor's going to come on and tell us more about it, but I really like this because the way I kind of spoke about recently, just about daily fantasy sports in general, you know, adding more skill and less luck involved, and I think, you know, things like this are more skill based. You know, I doubt the person who's going to win the points championship, who's going to win $1,000, is going to be some schlub who just kind of joined. It's probably going to be somebody who's experienced, who's good, because let's face it, you can get lucky in one event, but it's hard to get lucky in 10 events. So, very excited about this promotion. Glad to see Draft Day run out their kind of championship series, and it's very different from the other ones. So again, all these sites are doing something a little bit different, and I absolutely love it. And I think, again, the more of these things that we see, the better it's going to be for the industry. So great job by Draft Day. Again, this doesn't start until May 21st, so we got plenty of time to discuss it. You can go to the forums page, take a look. We've got it sticky marked, I guess, at the top of the forums page. And please sign up through our links here on RotoGrinders. So if you haven't gone to Draft Day yet, 20% bonus up to $30. And let's face it, if you like the stuff that we do here on RotoGrinders, the best way you can support us is to go and sign up through our links. You know, we don't have a little button in the upper right-hand corner of our site saying, give us free money. You know, I always think it's kind of tacky when people have the donate now button. See, we don't do that. We like to be professional about it. And we'll tell you what, you know, it definitely helps us as a site continue to roll out the things that we do is when you sign up through our links. So please continue to do that. It definitely helps us out. We'll talk to them again either tomorrow or Friday on the podcast about this big championship. Certainly excited to hear how they came up with this kind of way about doing it. So very cool there. The other thing just to bring up, if you're probably living in the state of Maryland, you're not listening to this podcast because, well, let's face it, the state of Maryland is one of the few out there that does not have daily fantasy sports legalized or fantasy sports legalized, but that is about to change. Apparently a law was passed, so if you've got friends, you've got family out in Maryland, they soon will be able to join in the fun that is daily fantasy sports. So kind of back to that discussion we had a while back, when we had the big Washington lobbyist on, and he basically said, it seems like, you know, there's going to be less restrictions before there's more restrictions, and this is the first kind of time we're seeing it, and certainly very excited about it. And again, I think we're going to see this more likely to have the states that have it banned, you know, say, you know what, let's give people what they want and legalize it, as opposed to states out there that have it legalized saying, hey, you know, we're not going to allow this. So I think it's certainly, I know all the daily sites out there got to be excited to think of, you know, how many more millions of people they can reach out to that they couldn't before. Well, now you can do it. So certainly excited. I'm not sure exactly when that law takes place, but as soon as it does, we'll let you know. And again, very good news for our industry. That's what we like to hear. Let's kind of wrap that. Kind of wraps up the news part of the show. Let's kind of look into the analysis, the nuts and bolts of it. Let's get you some winning picks, and let's start. Let's start with some PGA Tour golf. Why not?
Four.
Fine shot.
Oh! I should have yelled two.
Why don't we walk this off, sir?
So I thought we'd get into a little PGA Tour golf today. Believe me, daily fantasy golf, pretty fun. Gives you action on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Actually, not Wednesday. What am I saying? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, you know, gives you the excitement of following this as the week goes on and probably give you something to follow that you normally wouldn't. I don't talk golf all the time because the fields are usually kind of hit or miss, but the PGA Tour, they run the Players' Championship over here at the TPC Sawgrass. Spectacular course, great events, probably the best field you will find all year long. That's definitely not a major, but it's, you know, they like to call it the fifth major, which is kind of lame. But nonetheless, you got great games over there on Draft Street. I know that Buzz Draft has golf. You also find it over there on Draft Zone, and I think it's worth checking out. You can get it for as cheap as $2 on a large field tournament on Draft Street, so I'd highly recommend giving it a look. This is quickly kind of going to run through some guys that I liked this weekend in fantasy golf. Let's start out with my two sleepers. And, yeah, maybe I'm a little biased. I'm not, like, originally from Jacksonville or anything, but it is my hometown. I definitely follow the golfers in this area. And there's two guys this week that I'm going to take a shot on, and they're both local guys. First guy is Bud Colley. You might have heard of him. He's a rookie. This is his first time, I think, playing the TPC. Or not playing the TPC, he's TPC, but playing in the Players Championship. But this guy is actually from Jacksonville. He said he's probably played Sawgrass about 100 times. So he's probably played this course more than a lot of the professionals who've, you know, played on this course in this tournament, you know, 5, 6, 7 times. I really like his game, too. If you look at historically, you know, didn't make the cut the last go-around, but before then had made the cut in the 5 previous tournaments and actually finished in the top 20 in 4 of those 5. So for the price tag that you have on Bud Colley, I think you go with him. And again, here's a guy with a lot of experience on the course. I'm a big fan of his. The next guy is a bit of a knucklehead, but he's actually playing better this year than he has in his entire career. And he'll probably finish in the top 10 or not make the cut. But his name is Matt Avery. And Avery is another guy who's a Jacksonville native who you obviously, if you live in this town, you've probably played that course a ton. And I definitely like him. Missed the cut the last event, but actually had back-to-back top 10s in the Texas Open and the RBC Heritage Open. And he's done pretty well this year. It's very surprising the season he's put together because he's never really been a very good pro. But for whatever reason, his game seems to be sharp this year. And again, for the price tag, you know, he's sitting at like 11K on Draft Street. You got to take some sleepers in there. I like Matt Avery as a sleeper. If I'm going to go with a stud, you got to take one or two studs. I think that Luke Donald might not be the bad way to go. He's the number 3 highest priced player on the field behind McIlroy and Westwood, and he usually plays very well on this course. I think had a top 10 last year, and overall last year was the both the U.S. Player of the Year and the European Player of the Year. He's just rock solid. You cannot go wrong with Luke Donald, so I definitely like him. And then the last guy, again, another sleeper that I'm going to give you, his name is Cameron Tringale, and last time out at the Wells Fargo, finished 57th, but the 3 events before that, 7th, 8th, and 8th. So he's had 3 consecutive top 10s before. He did make the cut in the last event, but just didn't have a phenomenal finish. So, again, a nice price on Cameron Tringale. Not the biggest name you're going to have out there, but if you want to talk about performance for what you have to pay, I kind of like him. So that's a quick rundown on golf, the Tour Championship here at Sawgrass. Best of luck in your daily fantasy golf matchups.
Get about the curveball, Ricky. Give him a heater.
Okay, let's talk some daily fantasy baseball. We start with the 7 o'clock games tonight, and we'll kick it off with the Yankees and the Rays. It's Phelps against Niemann, and Jeff Niemann is 0-3 on the road, but the Rays have really only provided him with 4 runs of support in those outings, so they really haven't helped his cause. He is 2-0 with a 3.0 ERA in 4 lifetime starts in Yankee Stadium, but I'm a little leery anytime you have a guy like Niemann who doesn't have spectacular stuff going against that fairly loaded Yankees lineup. Derek Jeter, good stats against him, 6-for-13, 3 doubles off of Niemann. Robinson Cano batting 308. Mark Teixeira and Curtis Granderson haven't done too well, 2-for-13 and 1-for-14 against Niemann in their career. Dave Phelps, his last start probably before Andy Pettitte comes up and takes his spot in the rotation. No real numbers against him for Rays batters, but anytime a righty goes to the mound, Matt Joyce has to be considered. Carlos Pena got off to a hot start, been slowing down recently, but again, a lefty going against a righty might be a sleeper there for you. Texas and Baltimore, Colby Lewis against Yiwen Chen, and Josh Hamilton, what a game he had yesterday. 4 home runs in a single game. I think it was like 38 fantasy points on Draft Street. I think it was like 40 some odd fantasy points on Daily Joust. I mean, wouldn't it suck if you had Hamilton and somehow you didn't hit the 60-point mark on Joust in your solo? Oh, suck to be you if that happened. But just an insane game. And talk about greatness that's not really being discussed in the manner it should. Only 16 people have done what he accomplished yesterday in the history of Major League Baseball. Like 230 people have thrown no-hitters, and people go crazy over those. 4 home runs, a much bigger feat in my eye. That's more on the level of a perfect game, maybe even more difficult than a perfect game, to be honest with you. But Hamilton, he's incredible. Batting 447, 7 homers, 21 RBIs in his last 11 games against Baltimore. His price is going to be enormous, especially after a game like that. So just beware, you know, you're going to be paying through the nose if you want to take Josh Hamilton. Chen has been solid, though, for Baltimore, but he's coming off his first subpar performance. It's really tough to take a guy who, kind of like a soft-tossing left-hander against just a great lineup. Nelson Cruz had another nice game yesterday. I think he could be breaking out of his slump, so look for him maybe to go yard in this one. I just got a hunch. Colby Lewis, he's coming off his first loss of the year, 1-2 with a 5.03 ERA in his three starts against the Orioles. Mark Reynolds, he's not expensive most sites, but he's had a lot of success against Lewis, 3-6 with a pair of home runs. And look to J.J. Hardy to keep up his hot streak, 10-for-16, 3 home runs in his last 16 at-bats. Pretty incredible. Chicago and Cleveland, Peavy against Gomez, and Peavy is holding his opponents to a 177 batting average. That's why his ERA is under 2 right now. He's actually, though, gone 1-3 with a 5.00 ERA in his first 6 starts against the Indians before throwing a 3-hitter with 8 strikeouts on May 18th. Now, Shin-Soo Chu and Asdrubal Cabrera are combined 9-for-24 against Peavy, E taking him deep for a homer one time. As for Jeanmar Gomez, this guy has been pretty good. He's impressed early on this season. 7 innings, 3 hits to the Rangers. That's impressive anytime you do that to that lineup. He's actually won both of his starts last year against the White Sox with an ERA of 2.25, and Chicago only batting 159 off of Jeanmar. So maybe not a bad cheap option to go with today for the Tribe. The Mets in Philadelphia face off. Cliff Lee against Dylan Gee. And Philly has won 4 straight and 4 out of the last 5 versus, or excuse me, the Mets have won 4 straight and 4 out of the last 5 versus the Phillies. And they are 2-0 with a .43 ERA. Actually, Cliff Lee is 2-0 with a .43 ERA in his first 3 starts against New York before he kind of got roughed up for 4 runs in 7 innings back in April. But here's the thing. Cliff Lee, you know, he had that great 10-inning game before he went on the disabled list. They're only going to limit him to about 80 pitches today. So he's not going to be worth the price. Do me a favor and don't take Cliff Lee. He might not even go 5 innings today if the pitch count doesn't go where it needs to. As for Dylan Gee, 2 road starts, he's done all right, 2.57 ERA. He's given up, though, 12 runs over 5 1/3 innings in his last 2 starts in Philadelphia last year, so good reason to kind of avoid him. Hunter Pence, red hot, 4 homers in the last 5 games. And Jimmy Rollins, 3-for-3 in his career against Dylan Gee. Washington and Pittsburgh, Detweiler and Bedard. Bedard averaging a surprising 9.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's also struck out 30 in 19 innings over the 3 starts, but he's 0-1 despite having an ERA of 1.42. Lefties only hitting 2-for-19 with 9 Ks against Bedard on the season. As for Detweiler, he's not striking out as many people as Bedard, but opponents are hitting under 200 against him, and lefties only going 2-for-24 with 9 strikeouts as well. So do me a favor, stay away from left-handed hitters in this game. Not a whole lot of great split stats to work with in terms of batter versus pitcher in this one, so we'll move on to Boston and Kansas City. John Lester against Bruce Chen. Now, this is the Chen you'd definitely want to stay away from. He sucks. 1-4, 4.98 ERA. He takes the mound after losing 4 straight with an ERA of about 6.5, and he's also given up 12 runs in the last 9 1/3 innings, so in his last 2 starts, so yeah, he's not very good. You look at him against the Red Sox in the 9 games he's pitched, an ERA over 8 since his last win, which is in 2005. So yeah, I think a Red Sox stack team would not be a bad idea for today. John Lester not looking like he did the last few years. He's been struggling, but 5-1 with a 1.30 ERA in 7 career starts against the Royals. And Royals hitters batting 214 against him, 1 home run in 70 at-bats. Moving back to I'll give you some more better stats here. Will Middlebrooks, he's been pretty good, 9-for-22, 4 doubles, 3 homers, 9 RBIs in the first 5 games, but he left the game early yesterday, so might not play today. Dustin Pedroia batting 439 with 16 RBIs in his last 18 games at KC, also 3-for-4 with a homer off of Bruce Chen, and David Ortiz also playing pretty well, 6-for-13 in his last 3 games overall. Miami and Houston, Josh Johnson, Lucas Harrell, I'm done with Josh Johnson, 11 runs, 16 hits, 5 walks, going 0-1 in 8 innings in his last 2 starts. Ugh, stay away from him. He's also 0-4 with a 4.31 ERA in his 11 starts since beating Pittsburgh in April 19th of 2011, and 0-2 since against Houston with a 5.87 ERA, allowing 4 homers and 15 RBI. So stay away from Josh Johnson. That's all you need to know. Miami, they're playing pretty well. You can't really go wrong with Reyes, Hanram, Mike Stanton. His 10-game hit streak came to a close, but the fact that a power hitter like him is hit in 10 straight games is a good sign. So any of those guys make good sense in this game. L.A., the Angels take on Minnesota. It's Santana versus Pavano. 0-9. In 10 starts, that's Irvin Santana, dating back to September 6th, had an ERA of 7.23 through his first 4 outings this season. But talk about a lack of run support. He's actually had 0 runs scored for him in his last 5 starts and 2 in his 6 this season. So Irvin Santana not being helped by his teammates. He's 3-3 with a 4.55 ERA and 9 career starts against the Twins. Joe Mauer, pretty good against him, 12 for 23 in his career. Justin Morneau with 3 homers in 18 at-bats. Carl Pavano allowed 5 runs over 6 2/3 innings to the Angels on April 1st. Vernon Wells with good splits, 4 homers, batting .379 against him. Guys like Alberto Colasso and Ibar are 7 for 18 and 12 for 36 with a couple of homers. Albert, not great, but I do think if you're looking for a team to stack, the Angels might not be a bad spot. Carl Pavano is on the line, or on the mound. St. Louis and Arizona, Kyle Loesch, Wade Miley. The Cardinals look for a 4th straight victory to complete their first road sweep of the struggling Diamondbacks in about 8 years. And Miley's been very solid in his first starts. Gave up a few runs his last go-around, but not a bad option for the price. Carlos Beltran's heating up, 3 homers in the series, and is 6 for 16 with 8 ribbies in his last 4 games. Kyle Loesch allowed 5 runs, 3 earned, 7 hits in a season-low 5 innings against Houston on Friday, and I'm not feeling good about him here. 2-2, 5.36 ERA in his 8 starts. He's 0-1 with an ERA of 6 in his 5 outings at Chase Field, so I think I'll avoid Kyle Loesch in this one. Not a whole lot of impressive stats, though, jumping out from a batter versus pitcher perspective, so I'm not sure who on Arizona I'd necessarily go with more than just avoiding Kyle Loesch altogether. A couple more games to look at. Detroit, Seattle, Smiley against Vargas. And Vargas is 1-1 with a 5.91 ERA in his 4 starts against the Tigers. Those numbers a little better at home than on the road. But Prince Fielder, Andy Dierks, they are a combined 16 for 31. 3 homers, 8 ribbies in their last 4 games. And Brennan Bosch, highly consider him today. 7 for 12 against Vargas. Delman Young, he's actually pretty cheap. 4 for 12. And Miggy, 3 for 5 with a double and a homer. So lots of Detroit Tigers looking good in this one. Smiley has allowed 5 earned runs and striking out 29 in the 28 innings through his first 5 career starts. So definitely like him today against Seattle. Kyle Seager, one guy who's hitting the ball pretty well, probably at a decent price for you. 348, 13 RBIs in his last 13 games. And last game to discuss over there on the West Coast, San Francisco and L.A., Lincecum in Billingsley. Lincecum giving up 12 of 20 earned runs in the first inning of his 6 starts. His opponents are hitting .370 in the opening frame, so we'll see if he can't get on track early in this one. Matt Kemp, though, hitting .386, 4 homers, 11 RBIs in the past 20 games against San Francisco, a .500 average with 4 home runs in the 11 home games in this series, and also .714 against Lincecum at home. So Matt Kemp looking good. Andre Ethier, also 10 for 35, 2 homers against Lincecum in his career. As for Billingsley, he enters this matchup 0-2 with a 4.84 ERA in his last 4 meetings. And the Giants, they're really not hitting well. Only 209 in this series, been held to 2 or fewer runs 4 out of the past 5 games in Dodger Stadium. Buster Posey, a great option at catcher for today, 9 for 20 lifetime with 2 doubles against Billingsley. Nate Shearholtz, I'm not sure if he's going to be in the lineups, but if he is, pretty good numbers, 8 for 19 against Billingsley as well. So that's the rundown of Major League Baseball here for this Wednesday night. Good luck in your matchups. Time for me to take a quick moment and say thank you to friends over there at Daily Joust. If you haven't checked them out, make sure you do it. Coming up this Friday, they've got their $1,000 guaranteed tournament. They put a bounty on somebody. You beat that person, you get that bounty badge. Yours truly sucked. I was worse than Turd Ferguson, who I was calling out. So who do they bring in? Somebody who won't suck. Primetime 420. We've had him on the podcast all around one of the best players in Daily Fantasy, plays on a bunch of sites, and excited to see him out there in this Joust tournament coming this week. So you him, you win that bounty badge, and remember, I think it's, what, 5 badges in the month, and you're eligible to play in a monthly free roll for those people. So definitely a great tournament for them. Also, pretty much looking like they're running the King Richard tournaments, those 50-50 Survivor tournaments. I don't want to say daily, but at least every other day you can find them. And they've been highly successful, a lot of fun. Make sure you check those out, as they've got a Super Joust seat attached to those. And again, you start with 32 people, goes down to 16, 8, 4, 2, and then your winner. Each way, you're winning money, and it's kind of a good way to get a bang for your buck. $20 is the entry fee, and just been one of the great additions to their site. So please check them out. They've been a great sponsor of this podcast. We appreciate that. They are DailyJoust.com. And with that, folks, I'm going to say goodbye to you for today. We'll return tomorrow on the podcast. Lots more interviews to come this week, and please do us a favor. Follow us on Twitter at RotoGrinders. We'll give you up-to-date injury news, give you some value plays as well. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can subscribe to this podcast each and every day. Thank you so much for listening to us. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's been the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Hey, folks.